Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, and in fact, I looked that up, and the last one we had were the twins of John and Nicole. Here, Beard. Yep. I bet, I don't know how old those kids are, but I bet they're three. Amen. Well, let's pray.
They need a lot of prayer.
Yeah.
A lot of prayer.
Let's pray, and I want to talk to you this morning about He's all you need. He's all you need. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this dedication. Thank you for filling our hearts with joy over that little guy. And Lord, just be with them. I want them to have great friends.
Yes, God.
I want him and his brothers to be close.
Yes, God.
I want people just when they see Stephen to love him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us like that today. Lord, just fill us with your spirit here next few minutes. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, worship was beautiful today. And the last song, Turn Your Eyes on Jesus. That's why I'm a mess right now. That goes right with this message. Okay, I want to share with you today about our Savior, Jesus, and how we are to work for Him during our everyday Christian walk. And I think most of you will be surprised at how we're supposed to work for Him. In John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29, in the NIV it says, Then they asked him, What must we do to do the work God requires? Verse 29, Jesus answered, The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. I'm going to refer to and repeat those two verses several times during this message. So look close at them and be conscious of what they're telling you. Now, I don't want to confuse you, but I want to change just a little bit here. I feel like I need to say something here. Brothers and sisters, the gospel is not necessarily a call for you to do something, but it's an opportunity for you to announce what has been done.
Yes.
Can I repeat that?
Yes.
The gospel is not necessarily a call for you to do something, but an opportunity for you to announce what has been done. The gospel is 100% good news. Good news that is for you and everyone with whom you share it. The gospel is so good that when you understand its message, you become compelled to tell somebody. Now, the key to really living this life is to become a victorious Christian filled with the good news. If someone believes or receives the gospel message, the good news, because of your testimony, then the good news will go charging into their lives unrestrained and loud and clear. Because if someone really receives the message of the gospel, it will demand their attention. it will require their attention. They will have to make decisions about it. The attention you give it will exponentially, oh, some words I have trouble with. I ain't going to say it again. I'll mess it up again. They'll produce a much greater return with big spiritual dividends. It's going to grow. Okay, now those two verses again. John 6, 28, 29, NIV. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he sent. To believe in the one he sent. Jesus states, believe in me. That's what you need to do. Believe in me. The gospel means good news. And here's the good news. Are you ready? You were born in sin. But through faith in Jesus Christ, you are free from all sin. Amen. Amen. Remember, the gospel is not a call to do something, but an announcement of what has been done. I'm going to say it again. The gospel is not a call to do something, but an announcement of what has been done. Jesus saves. Jesus heals. Jesus delivers. Listen to the text again in the message. To that they said, well, what do we do then to get on or involved in God's works? Jesus said, sign on with the one that God has sent. That kind of commitment gets you in on or involved with God's works. Amen. I heard about a retired pastor who has served as a senior pastor for over 40 years, and he was close to death. He invited a friend to come and see him one afternoon. The preacher was very troubled. And he asked his friend, what do I need to do to make sure I'm ready? It didn't matter what was said to him. He was feeling as if he needed to earn his next promotion, eternity. I think there are a lot of people, a lot of believers, that have had that same perspective. Most people have been taught to believe that anything we get out of life, we have to work for it. In fact, there are religions that will teach you that. Earlier in John chapter 6, after Jesus fed the 5,000, he said to the crowd, don't believe in me because of the food you received when I fed you. That perishes. That'll be gone. Then a little later, Jesus states in John 6, verse 26 through 28, in the message, you come looking for me not because you saw God in my actions, but because I fed you, filled your stomachs, and for free. Don't waste your energy striving for perishable food like that. Work for the food that sticks with you. Food that nourishes your lasting life. Food the Son of Man provides. He and what he does are guaranteed by God the Father to last. To that they said, well, what do we do then to get on with God's good works? Again, just believe. Just believe in Jesus. Believe that he's first and last in your life. Believe that the Lion of the tribe of Judah is worthy of all praise and worship. Amen. And believe that he loves you. Here's a simple fact. Jesus paid for everything in full. Everything in full. So you could be a victorious Christian. A victorious Christian. There is nothing you can do that will give you a greater advantage. Nothing. It's been done. Hallelujah. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So you can't boast. You can't boast of anything that you've done that is good. It's all Jesus. Our righteousness is as of filthy rags. Wow, that ain't much, is it? Yeah. Dr. Neil Anderson made this statement. Too many Christians believe that living a Christian life is a continuous routine of involvement in well-meaning programs. They believe they could live the victorious Christian life if only they could discipline themselves to read their Bibles more, pray more, attend church regularly, and fellowship with other believers. Those are good and great Christian disciplines. But to believe that such personal involvement and effort is the means to fix life's problems is to get the proverbial cart before the horse. He goes on to say, human effort is not what it takes to live the Christian life, or to be free from our past and to overcome addictive behaviors. Now, brothers and sisters, I'll repeat myself a few more times on these statements. Victorious Christian living comes by accepting what Jesus has already done for us, understanding who our Heavenly Father is and who we are in Christ, and then choosing to live by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit according to what God says. Wow. The most well-structured programs cannot set us free. And no amount of human effort can accomplish anything near what Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. Now, before Easter Sunday, I visited the local Walmart and inquired about possibly ordering a large quantity of donuts. I mean, you may remember that. I had determined beforehand about how many we would need if everybody would eat two. So I placed the order and I paid for it. On Easter Sunday, I left my house early enough to get the 12 dozen boxes of donuts, and then left there in time to get to church and set up a table and get ready for the arrival of our members. I recruited and arranged for Brother Kurt to arrive early to make coffee. I recruited the ladies to serve. Even though I made a concerted effort to do everything I could to bless my church family, I guarantee I did not add anything to my salvation. Nothing. When I brought you donuts a few weeks ago on Easter Sunday morning. But I was prompted by the Holy Spirit to bless everyone that was going to be here. Now, I saw a lot of the plates, and some of you I blessed more than others. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 9 in the New Living Translation says this: this letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Wow, did you hear that? God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. Verse 4, and because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Verse 5, in view of all this, because of all this, amen, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Every effort. Supplement your faith with the generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. Verse 8, the more you grow like this, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from all their old sins. Verse 9 says, we become short-sighted or blind if Jesus isn't our everything. Jesus wants your attention, your eyes wide open on Him. He deserves more than your once-in-a-while glance. In the beginning, before the fall of man, Adam was alive physically and spiritually. So again, I ask, what has been done? According to Genesis chapter 2, Adam disobeyed God and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. From that time on, everyone who is born into this world is born physically alive, but spiritually dead, separated from God. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 6, in the Message, he says this, it wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. I still got a pretty good rememberer of it. Amen. It reminds me every once in a while, too, of the junk I was in. I'm sure I'm not alone. Stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing. When we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose His temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Boom. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, He embraced us. Folks, that sentence is shouting ground. It's jumping up and down, hopping ground. Amen. It's not setting your seat ground, okay? Amen. Now I lost my place. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on His own with no help from us. Praise God. Then He picked us up and set us down in the highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Whew. The Apostle Paul writes, and by the way, I apologize to Vivian for all these scriptures and all these different forms and et cetera. Romans 1, 16 and 17 in the Message. It's news I'm most proud to proclaim. This extraordinary message of God's powerful plan to rescue everyone who trusts Him, starting with the Jews and then right on to everyone else. God's way of putting people right shows up in the acts of faith, confirming what Scripture has said all along. The person in right standing before God by trusting Him really lives. Really lives. Do a dipstick check there, folks. Are you really living? Uh-oh. My dipstick's reading low. Again, I'm going to say a mouthful. Victorious Christian living comes by fully accepting what Jesus Christ has already done for us. He's already done it. Jesus states in John chapter 8, verse 36 in the Amplified, "So if the Son makes you free, then you are unquestionably free." Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Galatians 3:13, New King James, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" So accept what Jesus has already done for you. Incidentally, He's already done it all.
Amen.
Not just a portion. He's done it all. Victorious Christian living also comes by understanding who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. Jesus states in Mark chapter 10, verse 18, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone." Exodus 34, 6, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth." And here's a verse that was a rhema for me when I found this. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. "For in Him," Jesus, "for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power." So believe or trust who Jesus is. Amen? Victorious Christian living comes by knowing who we are in Christ. Knowing Him and who we are in Christ. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ."
Yes, yes.
"I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Romans 8:37. "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Amen. Amen. So believe what the Word of God declares concerning you. Victorious Christian living also comes through choosing to live by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, believing what God says is true. Again, by faith, live in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told me to buy donuts because He wanted to bless you too. Amen. Amen. Once more, the secret to victorious Christian living is living by faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. How's that going to work? I don't know. I don't know. The other day, Bonnie and I got two checks in the mail, one to her and one to me. Each one was $39. Came from State Farm Insurance. I hadn't had State Farm Insurance in 10 years. But I like the $39. I don't know how things work. That was a gallon of gas. I heard the other day some guy was bragging, I filled up for $20 my lawnmower. Hebrews chapter 11 gives every reader a picture of faith walk. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Everybody liked them. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When believers gain this wealth of knowledge and decide to apply it, live by it, this kind of believer becomes a victorious Christian. Question, are you that victorious Christian? Now, this I know about today's world. Too many people have experienced rejection, abandonment, or abuse in their early childhood and have believed the lies that they've been told. I'm of no value. I don't measure up. I am unlovable. Such things have destroyed their inclination toward faith. Obviously, they must be healed emotionally. Obviously. And then trust Jesus in order to be capable of living this victorious Christian life. Folks, please believe the old man died when you said yes to Jesus. Please believe that that old man died. And the only reason he comes alive is when you bring him back to life through your memories. Again, the gospel is not a call to do something. The gospel is the message of the good news. The gospel is the announcement that what was needed for us to live the victorious Christian life has already been done. Jesus defeated the devil at the cross, forgave our sins, and gave us a new life in him. I want to repeat that. Jesus defeated the devil at the cross. He forgave our sins and gave us a new life in him. Again, Jesus states in John 8, 34 through 36, message. Jesus said, I tell you most solemnly that anyone who chooses the life of sin is trapped in a dead-end life and is, in fact, a slave. A slave can't come and go at will. The son, though, has an established position, the run of the house. So if the son sets you free, you are free through and through. I know you are Abraham's descendants, but I also know that you are trying to kill me because my message hasn't yet penetrated your thick skulls. I'm talking about things I have seen while keeping company with the Father, and you just go on doing what you've heard from your Father. Are you free through and through, folks? Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes. Yes. All right, now I'm going to get real deep on you here. Producing Christian fruit is the natural consequence of being alive and free in Christ Jesus. But the two biggest errors Christians make are, number one, trying to become someone they already are, a child of God. Trying to become someone they already are. 1 John 3, 1 and 2. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Verse 2, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Wow. Second thing. What's the second biggest error Christians make? Trying to get something they already have. Freedom from sin and death. Trying to get something they already have. Romans 8, 1 and 2. So now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Wow. Paul, with no reservation, declares, you are free from the law of sin and death. Free. Paul is actually stating that if you are a believer, neither sin nor death can keep you from eternity with Jesus. In closing, I ask you to ponder this question. Are you depending on what you do for your salvation? Or do you depend on what Jesus has already accomplished for your salvation? Think about it. Are you trying to work your way to heaven? Or are you depending on the work of your Savior to get you there? You know, I was just thinking, I've worked out in the world some, and I think a lot of people work to get their place in heaven, but a lot of other ones work to get their place in hell. Oh, I'll meet my friends down there. Salvation equals good fruit. If you're born again, if you're a Christian, you will automatically be fruitful for God's kingdom. You want to see the fruit? Look at Galatians 5. It's the attributes of God. Wow. In you. Wow. God in me? Wow. That's something. There is no doubt that those who belong to Jesus will bear good fruit in his name. John 13, verse 35, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If you have love for one another. Now, I'm going to go through this list again real quick, and then you can go beat the Baptist to the restaurants, okay? Okay. Victorious Christian living comes by fully accepting what Jesus Christ has already done for us. He's already done it. Victorious Christian living also comes by understanding who Jesus is. He's not just the guy next door. He's the guy that lives inside, isn't he? Victorious Christian living comes by knowing who we are in Christ. Victorious Christian living also comes through choosing to live by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, believing what God says is true. Wow. Remember, the gospel is not a call to do something, but an announcement of what has already been done. Now, the key to really living this life is to become a victorious Christian, filled with good news and not works. Question, are you a victorious Christian? Well, if you are, you can go home and put your feet up. Unless God's got a project out there. He wants your love poured out on. The work's been done. You don't have to do the work. You just got to be that Christian. That is a great verse that I started with. Thank you, Jesus. I also forgot to tell you, and I wanted to tell you, that last night my son's daughter graduated from Clear Springs High School. Yep. What a deal. Y'all remember that? Yeah. Kylie was here last week, I think. Tall, blonde. She's going to Texas Tech. She wants to get as far away from Mama as possible. You'd think I was joking about that, but I think that's the thing. I think she went there because she was accepted. That's a long way. But we're proud of her. Going to have a party this afternoon. And family keeps growing and going and doing. Well, yeah, we got a great grandbaby due any day, really. Yeah. And it's going to be a pumpkin head. Yeah, it looks just like a pumpkin head.